morning and welcome on this August morning, right before school starts, to the University of Indianapolis and to Ash Hall. I'm Beverly Pitts, the president of the University of Indianapolis, and we're most happy to have you in this venue because it houses our School of Education and our Center for Excellence in Leadership of Learning, which has been very engaged in educational reform throughout the state. I'm most pleased that my colleagues from my fellow schools, IUPUI, Purdue, and Ball State, are here to talk about the Woodrow Wilson Fellowship Program. That program certainly would not have happened without the wonderful support of the Woodrow Wilson Fellowship Program and Arthur Levine, and also the support of the Lilly Endowment. And we're so pleased that we have a governor who cares so much about this and has been such a great support in bringing this program to Indiana. So it is my pleasure to introduce the governor of the state of Indiana, Mitch Daniels.
Thank you, Madam President, and to the U of I for hosting us this morning. Arthur Levine from the Woodrow Wilson Foundation is here. The author, the innovator and creator of this program has come back to Indiana for probably the 40th time to be with us today, as well as the leadership, Beverly mentioned, of the other three schools selected in a very competitive process to begin transforming the way we teach future teachers in Indiana. Let me just start by saying that I've devoted each day this week to talking about how we might move forward in Indiana education. This is of paramount importance for self-evident reasons, but as I pointed out to the group in Terre Haute yesterday, in every other dimension of economic competitiveness, Indiana has rocketed to the top rank. We are routinely listed now in terms of the cost of doing business, the ease of doing business, the low taxes, attractiveness, the readiness of our infrastructure. All these important variables were always listed as the top 10, top 8, top 5 state. We must achieve that very same rating in the most critical variable of all, and that is the readiness of Hoosiers of all ages to hold the demanding and high-skilled jobs that are now are the family-supporting jobs in this economy. And so I've spent this week offering ideas about how we strengthen discipline in our classrooms, how we move more dollars into our classrooms. We are a state in which only 61 cents of every education dollar reaches the classroom by any definition. Yesterday talked about how we could assure every Indiana student, if you will graduate from high school, we will provide 2 years at the community college or its equivalent. If you will just not drop out, and if you will stay the course, you can go to college and we'll see to it. And now today, to talk about one of the most, perhaps the most critical variable inside the variable of educational results, and that is teacher quality. Indiana was chosen in a very competitive process by the Wilson Foundation to be the first state and the test bed for a new way of teaching, for a new Rhodes Scholarship of Teaching, Arthur likes to call it, in which students would compete for the chance to have a free master's provided to them and would in return pledge to work a minimum of 3 years in a high-need school, teaching math and science, at least in our initial years. The most urgent needs we have among so many are for excellent competence among our students in math and in the sciences, which are the most decisive skills of the new economy. And we need more and we need better prepared teachers in those disciplines to do this. And it was such a thrill when the Wilson Foundation called to say they had chosen Indiana to lead this effort. Now, I am one who doesn't believe a good idea ought to wait. So although the first Wilson Fellows will not enroll, next year will be the first competitive acceptance of these students. I'm ready to propose that the state of Indiana put its own resources behind this program and that we make it 2.5 times as large, that we train not 80 Rhodes Scholars of teaching per year, but 200. And that we begin, then we will begin to grow beyond math and science to other very critical subject matter areas. But the idea is still the same one Arthur started with, that we need young people of excellence who have mastered, have provably mastered the content of math or physics or chemistry or biology, and who then will undertake in a new setting, a practical setting, working with experienced teachers, to learn the skills of transmitting the content they know to young people and helping them to become as excited about math or biology as they were. I just don't think we can move fast enough on a goal this important or a program that is so certain to make a real difference. Arthur Levine is one of the acknowledged leaders of American education and has been for decades. And he's prepared, I imagine, over a lifetime for the thinking that led to this concept. And so I want Indiana not only to be first, but to take a long, long lead on its competition. And that's the proposal that I make today. I also want to complete Education Week by recommitting, reminding the legislature that we took a long leap forward in full-day kindergarten in this state, but the job is not done, and it must be finished. We must make it universally available to the children of Indiana. We had a 40% jump through the actions taken last year, 40% jump in the number of the Hoosier kids, five-year-olds, in full-day kindergarten. But that only took us to 62 or 63%. So we must take that last long jump to a universal availability, and that also will be part of our program if we are rehired for this job. By the way, I want to point out that just through the just because they heard about it somewhere, we two full-day kindergarten teachers from Brownsburg, Mrs. Hamilton and Mrs. Thompson, came to be with us today. So you might want to congratulate them and thank them for their teaching. And for their citizenship. I'll be glad to take your questions, and happily I have a whole panel of experts here for the ones that are too technical for me.
So the existing program will pick up the 80 and the state will pick up the 120 above that?
Yes, that's correct. We propose to go to a total of 200, augmenting. Please recognize that as it stands, this is an entirely privately funded program, as Beverly pointed out, provided through the Wilson Foundation and our own Lilly Endowment, which shares our excitement for its potential. So I'm talking about wrapping around that now as part of the activities of the Department of Education, an expansion of the program get us to 200, which 200 math and science teachers a year would be a meaningful number rather quickly in the universe of Indiana K-12 education.
You say in here that the money would come to the Department of Education?
Yeah, I have a $300 million plus budget over there, and I think this is a pretty affordable program, really. $5 million is about what I'm suggesting would take. So money is really not the issue. It's the idea of seeing math and science and excellence in teaching as a top priority, which I believe it manifestly is.
I know you say you want to see fully funded kindergarten within the next 4 years. What would be the price tag on that?
It's a double-digit number, I think probably in the $50 million range.
$50 million annually?
I'll check it and see exactly for you. It's more or less the size step we've taken already, taken again. Oh, I think you underestimate the motivation of today's young people to do something really meaningful in life. And what could be more meaningful than giving opportunity to dozens of children every year by teaching them the most important disciplines of all. But I take your point. We were discussing it before, Brian, before the conference started here, that retention is already an issue in Indiana education. And I do believe, and I will support other steps that might retain excellent teachers. In my judgment, teachers who provably excel at educating children ought to be paid more. I believe that the teachers of math and science, or high need disciplines in high need schools, ought to be paid more. We ought to take additional steps to make sure that these Rhodes Scholars of Teaching stay beyond the 3 years. That'll be very important. Having made this investment, you can bet we will be looking to do things that encourage them to follow their hearts and stay on the path that obviously appeals to them when they apply to this program.
I wonder if we could hear from Mr. Levine on why this is so
important. I'm sorry, I missed the end of the question.
He's going to want you to talk into this.
Okay.
Arthur, he's going to want you to talk into this,
sorry.
I think. Yeah.
I think it's important for two reasons, probably more, but the two that strike me immediately are that this really is a very bold step by the governor, which promises to have enormous impact to this extent. Last time I looked, it was under 350 teachers a year that were being certified across the state in math and science. This will more than double or increase by 50% the number of math and science teachers, which is extraordinary because the need is so high in this state. Second thing that stands out is that before we chose Indiana, one of the things that we wanted to do looked at a lot of factors in this state. But one of the things that was very important to us, beyond the fact there was an education agenda, a serious education agenda, coming from the governor's office and the legislature, was that we did focus group interviews in this state, asking people if they'd be willing to enter a teaching career having majored in math or science as undergraduates, or having wanted to change careers. And we found that the numbers were very high in terms of late career changers, people 50 or older, who I now look at as children. And what we found in addition was, we're just finishing a survey, which my staff is going to be really unhappy that I'm telling you about, because it's due to be released in early September. And what it found was that 40% of all people working in math and science, late career people, 50 and older, would be willing to take jobs as teachers. So for all those reasons, an extraordinary state, an extraordinary promise to this state by the governor, and a large impact being promised.
Thank you, Arthur.
Surely.
May I underscore one other thing that I glossed over too quickly? Just as this will be an elite competition, a very competitive process to become a Wilson Fellow and to receive this new master's in education credential. So there was a very competitive process for those schools who would be permitted to offer that master. And of the between 40 and 50 schools of education in this state, only four were selected by Dr. Levine. The University of Indianapolis, of course, was one, Purdue, Ball State, and IUPUI. And I'm so thankful to those schools, first for the quality of the education they're providing right now, but especially for their eagerness to begin migrating their programs in the directions that experts like Dr. Levine have been recommending. So they are more hospitable to adults who will be eligible for this program. So they are focused on actual practical classroom clinical training to a greater extent than mere theory or pure theory. And so congratulations and thanks to those four schools. And as we make this program bigger, It's contemplated that other schools would join that list, but I'll just say that the standards there will be kept just as high as Arthur will keep the standards for the students themselves. And so we are very proud of these four schools, and we encourage all the others to think about emulating them.
Governor, I think it was about 2 years ago you presented a plan to the legislature for full funding, a full-day kindergarten in the current budget cycle. Why now a four-year phase-in? Do you think the state that can't afford it next budget session, or do you think lawmakers won't go along with it that quickly?
Oh, Patrick, I'm always for as fast as possible. If we can do it next year, we'll do it next year. I think policy we've enunciated is on as fast as proves possible. Obviously, we're dealing with very slowly growing state revenues at this point. We're being very, very careful, and it's just a little early to say what how much new spending can be afforded and how quickly. I'm just flagging this, like teacher quality, as a very top priority. And as you've seen in the past, no matter how difficult things are, we find ways to move resources to high-priority items, as we once did to child protection when the state was, in a big way, when the state was flat broke.
Governor, any plans to also ask the General Assembly to make full-day kindergarten mandatory?
I think one step at a time. I'm very open on this, but that's not part of the program that we're laying out for next year. As you know, it's not a moot point, but it's not far from one, because wherever kindergarten is available, almost every family takes advantage now. So, anyone else? I go from here to lay to rest the second of three soldiers that we will say goodbye to this week, this very difficult week, and I would just ask everyone to remember them and all their brothers and sisters in arms as you go about your own affairs today. Thank you very much.